I hope that along the way you've been encouraged by this book. It's had some hard words to say, hasn't it? Some strong words to say. And yet it's a book which is so rich in the grace of God, the kindness of God that comes to us in Jesus. And I hope that as we finish Galatians today, I hope it's not just a box that we can tick off saying, okay, we've done that book. I actually hope that as we look at this letter, that it'll challenge and change us and transform us from the inside out. And so why don't we pray and ask God to help us as we do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you great thanks for your word here in Galatians. We pray, Lord, that as we work our way through Galatians 6, that we understand that this is you speaking to us, helping us, Lord, in our walks with you. And we pray, Father, that you give us the eyes and ears to see what you are saying to us and give us the strength to do it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that question that we kicked off about safety, how do you stay safe in our world today? How do you stay safe in a world where it just seems like there's danger wherever you look? You just think about the horrific events that took place last Thursday as a van plows through a crowd of people in Barcelona. Or just yesterday, I don't know if you saw the news, as a car goes through Chatswood Mall and hits five people. This time it's an accident. Yeah, it's not deliberate, as somebody has a medical episode, they call it. And the person loses control and goes through Victoria Mall and hit five people along the way. How do you stay safe? Especially as people go about their usual business. You know, the people yesterday, it was just like any other Saturday until that took place. How do you stop those things happening? The authorities are thinking about the idea of putting up bollards, putting up barriers so that cars can't go through crowded areas. Well, how about when it comes to your kids? When you think about that, how do you keep them safe? You know, Sam's already told us about how Phoebe will crawl around, but I was driving past Roseville Public School, and I don't know if you saw their notice board. I'm not sure if it's still there, but they were having a workshop on cyber safety, cyber bullying, something along those lines, about keeping our children safe because we can't be there all the time. We care about being safe. We care about our children being safe, and we'll do things about it. You know, the small things sometimes. The fact that we look both ways before we cross the street. That we have smoke alarms in our houses, our apartments. We tell our children about stranger danger. We keep our computers safe. You know, we don't open up suspicious looking emails. We do all sorts of things to stay safe. But how about when it comes to being safe spiritually? Making sure that we're okay. Making sure that we're going well. Actually, we don't want to just be safe, do we? We actually want to be going strong spiritually. And yet I think in this area, so often we become blasé. You know, all of a sudden we don't take safety seriously anymore. Which is completely irrational, isn't it? It's completely irrational. Because we know that this matters. Of course it matters. You know, issues of heaven and hell, it's about our eternal salvation, where we end up. We know that it matters, but at the same time, we do nothing about it. And so we need to hear Galatians chapter 6. Because Paul talks about being safe. Actually, again, it's more than that. He talks about how to go well, how to be strong. If you remember Galatians, in the Galatian church, they were this close from disaster. They were this close from actually falling away from grace. They were adding on to Jesus. They were adding, have to obey the Old Testament law. You have to do this and that. Adding anything onto Jesus. And Paul said last week, you're in danger of being alienated from Christ. Falling away from grace. Giving up being saved. Why would you do that? And last week, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 10, he's actually confident. He's confident that now that he's written to them, that they'll come around and that they'll see the truth. And now that they've come around, I think his tone changes in chapter 6 as he calls them brothers. That there's a note of confidence here. And now he wants them to be safe. To keep going as Christians. And in Galatians chapter 6, as Paul finishes the letter, for them and for us, this is about being strong spiritually. And it's going to mean three things for us to be safe, to be growing as Christians. It's going to involve carrying, sowing, and boasting. Those three things. How to be safe? First of all, it means to carry. You see, how are we going to keep going? How are we going to keep being safe? The first answer is we do that together. We carry each other. Let me read out verse 1. It'd be great if you have your Bibles open in front of you. It's always good to make sure that what I say comes from the Bible. Let me read verse 1. Paul says this, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Carry each other's burdens. I was talking to a friend who's a missionary, talking to her about somebody that she knows who's overseas, who has a problem with materialism. Now imagine that you're my missionary friend. Imagine you've got a friend where materialism is a problem for her. Money is all that she talks about. Making money is what it seems like that's always on her mind. She wants everything she can get. She wants the best and she gets it. That's what drives her. Her security, her focus, her passion is money. And the thing about this person is, imagine, she actually calls herself a Christian. And it's not that you're not sure about it. It's not this sort of umming and ahhing. You know that she's trying to serve two masters. She's trying to serve God and yet money at the same time. Other people have seen it as well. They've noticed it. Here's the question. What do you do? What do you do about that situation? Now, I suspect most people would do nothing. You know, it's not my business. Who am I to say something about it? It's not my job. Somebody else will do it. The minister will do it. Or God will, if he really wants it to happen. We say to ourselves, I don't want to judge. I just want to love them and accept them. I think that's kind of the mental notes that we go through. And it's a lot easier to do nothing, isn't it? If someone is caught in a sin, what does Paul say? He says, restore them gently. Do something about it. Now, in verse 1, the person who's spiritual, in light of what Paul's been saying in chapter 5, I think it's probably more accurate to translate that to say, it's anyone who has the Spirit. That's the person who is spiritual. And so if you're a Christian, that's you Paul is talking to. You're the person who is spiritual. And God says, if you see someone who is caught in a sin, if you're a Christian, bring them back. Carry each other's burdens, verse 2. And as you do this, it fulfills the law of Christ. This is what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, it's actually loving to bring someone back. And it's unloving not to. When you see somebody who's struggling, to ignore that, to let it go, it actually means you don't love them. See, imagine you're running towards a cliff. Yeah, you're sprinting that direction. You don't know that the cliff just around the corner. Now, I could let that go. And I could ignore that. I could say, I don't want to judge you. I just want to accept you for who you are. And maybe you won't get hurt. It's going to be somebody else's job to stop you from running off that cliff. How unloving would that be? To let someone run over a cliff. How unloving is it to let someone run towards hell? But notice it doesn't say here. Yeah, you who are spiritual, go and blast them. Yeah, you who are so much better than they are. It doesn't say that. It says restore them gently. Watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. In other words, don't go in there into the conversation as somebody who's righteous, who's got it all worked out, who thinks, I'd never do that. No, you go in there talking to a sinner because you're a sinner. And because you're weak, just as they are, you are humble and you're gentle. And if you're tempted to look around church and to say, I'm better than that person who keeps stuffing up. Yeah, I must be pretty good. Paul says, don't compare yourself with someone else. Test your own actions, verse 5. Carry your own load. If you're tempted to actually look at the other people and think, yeah, I'm actually better than most people here. No, it's between you and God. It doesn't work like that. Test your own actions. But going back to verse 1, if we understand this, can I ask this morning, is there someone that you need to talk to? Is there somebody that you actually have to have this conversation with? Whether it's because they're living for the world, you know, in the decisions that they make about schooling or kids or work, it's what the world says. That seems to be what's driving them. Or it's the fact that they hardly come to church. You know, you've noticed that it seems like everything always crops up from them coming along to church. Maybe that's the person you need to speak to. Or for them, pornography is a problem. Or gossiping. How they treat their husband or wife or kids. Whatever it is, say to them, will you say to them, I care for you as a brother, as a sister. You have to go in there and say, I'm worried that this is a struggle and I want to see you grow. I want to see you safe as a Christian. How are you going in that? And God loves you. And because he loves you, maybe you need to stop. Is there somebody that you need to have a conversation with? And can I turn that around? Now, can I actually turn that conversation around? Maybe there's actually somebody who's trying to talk to you. And it's hard. Yeah, they don't want to do it. It's never a fun conversation to have. And I think when somebody tries to talk to you, when somebody tries to correct us, we either fight or flight. You know, we have that response. We either fight, we get angry, we get defensive. How dare they say that? Who do they think they are that they don't understand my situation? Or we run away. We have a flight response. We avoid them. We don't want to talk about it. Or the things that they say, we actually ignore it and we let it slide out of the way. Maybe this morning, as you think about the people who are trying to speak into your life, maybe you do need to come back to God. And maybe they're saying that actually because they love you. How are we going to be safe? Well, we carry. We carry each other's burdens. Me looking out for you and you looking out for me. Will you do that? How do we stay safe? Well, the second point is that we sow. We carry, we sow. In verse 6, Paul talks about how pastors, leaders and teachers, they have an important job and it's right for the church to support them as they bring instruction. But then in verse 7, it's important how we respond to that instruction. We are responsible for ourselves, for how we grow and where we sow. Let me read verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. A man reaps what he sows. Now, I'm not very good at gardening. I'm pretty bad at gardening, actually, but I get this. I understand what this is talking about. Back when I was in primary school, our family bought a mushroom kit. It's a box, and inside the box there is compost or dirt or something along those lines. And you put the mushroom seeds on top, you put it in a dark room, and then you wait. Now, can you imagine that after putting the mushroom seeds on top, can you imagine that all of a sudden, out of this box, I get a pumpkin? Yeah, it doesn't work like that. I'm not expecting a pumpkin. You sow mushroom seeds or spores or whatever it is, and you get mushrooms. You sow a pumpkin seed. That's when you get a pumpkin. You reap what you sow. Now, when it comes to plants and when it comes to physical things, we get that. It makes sense. But when it comes to spiritual things, for some reason, we forget it. For some reason, we think that you can do whatever you want spiritually and somehow you'll be okay. God says, sow to please your sinful nature. You know, remember what we saw last week. Living for yourself. Indulging yourself. Sow to please the sinful nature. Sow that kind of seed and everything falls apart. You reap destruction. Both here, when we make a mess of our lives, but also when Jesus comes to judge. But sow to please the Spirit. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, living out the Christian life, and you reap eternal life. And yet, so many Christians sow to please their sinful nature, and they wonder why they're not growing as Christians. Instead of killing their sinful nature, they give into it. See how far they can get away with. See how far they can push the boundaries. Watching pornography or holding a grudge against someone. Devoting yourself to work instead of God. Chasing after the best. And they wonder why after a while their Christian life barely has a pulse. But so to please the Spirit, read the Bible. Pray. Meet up with other Christians, whether it's at church or in small group, being generous and loving, doing good, especially to the family believers, and you grow. You're not just safe, you've got a Christian life which is rich and strong and healthy. And it can be hard. It can be hard when sometimes you feel like you're always putting in, but you're never getting where as a Christian. Or ministry, it's tiring. And so Paul says in verse 9, don't be weary in doing good. Don't give up, because there will be a harvest in the kingdom of God. And again, so can I ask this morning, what are you sowing into your marriages, into your private life, in the decisions you make? Are you sowing to please yourself and all the things that you're busy with? Or are you sowing to please God? God cannot be mocked. You reap what you sow. Carry, sow, and boast. Up to this point, Paul probably would have been writing this letter using a scribe. You know, he dictates and somebody else is writing this down. And then in verse 11, he grabs the pen and in big letters he writes himself. This part is like Paul saying, this is bold and underline. Because here is the key question when it comes to being safe. This is the key question whether you're going to keep going as a Christian or you fall off a cliff. Here's the key question. What do you boast in? What do you boast in? What are you trusting? And there's going to be two answers to that, two options to that. The Judaizers. Remember the context of Galatians, what's going on there. They're the ones who've come into the church and they're saying, you need to be circumcised. You need to follow the Old Testament law if you want to be saved. And Paul says, they just don't want to be persecuted for the cross of Christ. That's why they're changing the message. That's why they've watered it down. But even worse, these people who say you have to obey the law, even they can't keep it. They boast about what is on the outside. They boast about the flesh, where they say to God, God, see how good we are, how religious we are. See how many people are following us. God must be impressed. If you go down that route, it's dangerous. If you think God will be impressed by how good you are, how moral you are, how religious you are, I live a good life. I do more good things than bad things. I go to church every week. I've been a Christian for years. If you try to impress God by yourself, if your boast is yourself, you are in for a rude shock. God will say, "You're good enough," is not good enough. My kingdom, you're not part of that. It's a little bit like the friends of Ellie Katsasides. I'm not sure if you've heard of Ellie. Ellie bought these tickets to Disneyland, and because she couldn't go, she sold them to her friends for several hundred dollars. And when they got there, they packed their bags, they flew all the way there. When they got there, they found out those tickets were fake. That actually Ellie was ripping them off. They were useless. Trying to get into Disney with fake tickets, it's useless. Trying to get in to God's kingdom by what you bring to the table, it's useless. It doesn't get you in. But boast in the cross of Christ. Trust in Jesus. Boast in him, and he makes us brand new. Verse 15, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. That we are a new creation in Christ. And we love things that are new. We love things that are new, don't we? I love a new book. You know, I love when you get a new book and you open up that smell of new pages, that a book that hasn't been opened before. We love new cars, you know, the gadgets and the gizmos. We love new babies. We love a new house. I went to a friend's place not that long ago. It was a place which is brand new. You know, it had been built just for them. They'd seen it when it was just a flat block of land, and it grew up, built up to be a house. And I went to their place, and on the walls they had these little pink post-it pads. You know, there's little sticky paper, and that was stuck along the wall, and I couldn't work out what it was. And so I asked them what it meant. And it's because where those post-it pads were, there was a tiny blemish in the paint. I couldn't even see it. But because it's brand new, you could do that. They had one of those doorbells that's been advertised recently. They had one of those doorbells that when you ring it, you can pick it up on your mobile phone. And so the person's mother-in-law came along and they buzzed the doorbell. And my friend replied from overseas, you know, on his phone, talking to his mother-in-law through the doorbell. Yeah, we love things that are new. It's great. How about a new creation? How good would that be? A heart transplant, when we have a broken heart and we can't fix it, but God can. Having a new heart, having a new body in the kingdom of God, a new start, a new relationship with God, where God is my Father and I am his Son, and nothing can break that. A new creation. Why? Because of the cross of Jesus. He died for my sin, and he gives me new life when he came back to life. I'm not going to boast in myself. I'm going to boast in that. I'm going to boast in Jesus, in his death and resurrection. And that is how you keep going as a Christian. That is how you stay safe. That is how you are strong as a Christian. This morning, what are you boasting in? If you're not a Christian here today, it's great the fact that you're here, and we love the fact, we hope you can keep coming. But if you're not a Christian here today, that's the last point. The last point is the only point that you need. You know, that question about what is it that you're boasting in? What are you trusting in to be right with God? Is it how good you are, how hard you try? Is it your own efforts? Don't be like those friends who had fake tickets to Disney. Come to Jesus. He's the one who brings us into God's kingdom. But if you are a Christian, Galatians is a great book, isn't it? As we've been working our way through it over these past weeks, Paul wants us to be safe. He wants us to be strong as Christians. Keep going, he says to us. And I would love it if Galatians chapter 6 was us. If this describes who we are, wouldn't it be great if we were a church, a community that was like this? That we carry each other's burdens, looking out for each other, saying those things which need to be said. And we're sowing in the right place to please the Spirit, growing in the fruit of the Spirit that we saw last week, doing good to each other just because it's good. And that we're people who boast in Jesus, because he is our Savior and he died for us. How great is he? The book of Galatians in chapter 1, verse 18 here, Paul starts with grace and he ends with grace. And friends, do the same. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what we've been seeing in Galatians. We thank you how it spells out so clearly what grace is. That is the kindness of Jesus as he dies for us on the cross. And we pray, Father, these things that we've been learning all the way through Galatians, but especially today, help us to be people who carry each other's burdens, that sow to please the Spirit, and Lord, who boast in the cross of Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen.